Hare Krishna.
The soul is wise, but lust makes it otherwise. Why do good people do bad things? This is a question that has troubled thinking people throughout history. We see in our own experience that we often have acquaintances who seem to be normal, decent people, and suddenly they do something which is terrible, atrocious even. And this is something which is seen all over the world. In fact, if you want evidence for humanity's vulnerability to immorality, then we don't have to look very far. We can just look in the mirror. And if we are honest to ourselves, we will admit that we often behave in ways that are unrecognizable and unconscionable. We wouldn't recognize, is that me? Could I have done something like that? Unconscionable. That means our normal conscience would never allow us to do it, but somehow we end up doing those things. So what causes these things? It causes good people to do bad things. Now in different religious traditions, different answers have come up. So one answer that is there in several religious traditions is the idea of original sin. That humanity is inherently contaminated by evil because the first human being sinned against God. And since that sin has been done, that sin has also passed down generation after generation through all human beings. And the sin becomes something like a genetic defect, which permanently pollutes all generations of living beings, of human beings. So, this is one kind of explanation. And yes, it to some extent explains why there is such a marked tendency towards wrongdoing among people in general. But then, This is a sin-centric view of humanity. And so sin-centric view of humanity raises more questions than answers. The most important question is the differential level of sinfulness in different people. If there's one original sin committed by the original human being, and that's the cause of contamination of all human beings, then why are different people contaminated differently? And why are some people still good? Now we may say nobody is good, but still, relatively speaking, there are people who are better than others. There are people who have levels of goodness in them, and some are more good, some are less good, and some are evil. So why is there any goodness present at all if we are all contaminated by evil? So the Bhagavad Gita offers a more coherent and cogent explanation to this problem of the human susceptibility to evil. This, in fact, this question is explicitly raised in 3.36 in the Bhagavad Gita when Arjuna asks, Athakena prayukto yam papam charati purushaha anichanna pivarshneya baladivaniyojitaha. So, athakena prayukto yam. By what is one impelled to sin? As if unwillingly. As if one is forcefully pushed. I mean, Krishna answers in 3.36 that it is lust. Shri Bhagavan Vacha. Krishna answers in 3.37, next verse, after Arjuna's question. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Kamesha Krodesha Rajoguna Samudbhavaha Mahashano Mahapapma Vidye namiha vairinam. So, this is kamesha. It is certainly lust to Arjuna, which is later distorted into krodesha. It's krodha. Rajoguna samudbhavaha. Rajoguna. It arises from the mode of passion. Mahavishnu, Mahapapma. It is a voracious appetite. Mahavishnu, Mahapapma. It is extremely sinful. Vidyenamiha vairinam. Now this to be the enemy. So Krishna doesn't point the finger to Arjuna. He says, you are a sinner. He is saying that, yes, there is this enemy which has covered you. And the Gita Vijayam tradition explains that actually we are at our core pure because we are parts of Krishna who is supremely pure. Mamaivam shoji valoke jiva bhuta sanatana. In 15.7 the Bhagavad Gita says that we are all parts of Krishna. So now Krishna is all pure, so we are also all pure. But then we are pure at our core, but we are covered over by an extremely impure covering of lust. So, two verses later, the Gita highlights the contrast between our pure core and our impure shell. Avritam jnanametena jnanino nitya vairina kamarupena kaunteya dushpurena nalena cha. So, avritam jnanam etena. That the jnana is avrita, it's covered. And significantly, the soul is referred to here as jnanino, is referred to as knowledgeable. Jnanino. So the soul is enlightened because it is satchitananda. So chit, consciousness or knowledge, is an inherent faculty of the soul. But nityavairina, eternal enemy of the soul in the form of lust. Kamarupena kaunteya, who is that eternal enemy? It's lust. And dushpurena nalena cha. So it is described as inflammable and insatiable. Analena, analena is like a fire. So lust just blazes. As soon as it gets a stimulus, it starts blazing. And if you try to extinguish it by indulgence, it blazes further. So insatiable, inflammable, infectant it is. It has covered over the soul. Now, this means that we are not at our core impure, but we are covered over by a very dangerous impurity. And this verse also explains why different people are good or evil to different degrees. Because the degree of covering of lust on them is different. And that is conveyed in the previous verse, the intermediate between 37 and 39, 38, by referring to how there are different metaphors used to communicate the nature of the covering. So, dhumena vriyate vahaneryatha darsho malena cha vitholbena vrito garbhastatha tenedam avritam. So, dhumena vriyate vahaner. This is fire is covered by smoke, just as the embryo is covered by the womb, and just as glass is covered by dust, similarly the soul is covered. So, why are different living beings covered differently? Significantly, this verse refers not just to human beings, but all living beings. So, the covering is not just on human beings, it is on all living beings. And this different covering is because of different indulgence and lust in the past. So, those who have indulged more in lust, they have got a greater covering. Those who have indulged lust, they have got lesser covering. But this covering, which is there, is removable. No matter how much lust has distorted our nature, we can still reclaim it. And the most effective, the most expeditious way to reclaim it is by practicing Bhakti Yoga. So, when we redirect our love towards Krishna by practicing Bhakti, then we relish a higher happiness. And that higher happiness progressively makes lust unalluring. It loses its allure. And then we reclaim our original wisdom, we are jnani as souls, our joyfulness, we are anandi, and our eternal life of love with Krishna, where the lust becomes reverted back to its pure nature as parts of Krishna. So the soul is wise, lust makes it otherwise. And Krishna makes the soul wise again, eternally. Thank you. Hare Krishna.